ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Do we have that longing to know God more and to have His life manifested more in our lives? Or are we just satisfied being saved and doing our own thing? Hey, I'm saved. It's all covered under the blood. Whatever happens, happens. That's scary. Now, I know some people go, oh, come on, you're a little overboard with, you know, this Jesus thing. Well, let me share what Paul said in Philippians 3, verses 7 through 11. And just listen. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Obviously, Paul said, you know, my life was nothing. I press on to the Lord. I can't deal with those things that are behind, but I'm moving forward. And then he says something very interesting. He says, that I may know Him. Didn't Paul know Jesus? Of course he did. And in fact, he's known Jesus now for some 30 years. He's coming to the end of his life. You know, he's only probably some 4 years or so from being martyred for his faith in Jesus by Nero. So how could he say he wants to know Jesus? Well, Paul did know Jesus probably better than most people ever will. But this is the point. The more that Paul knew Jesus, the more he learns of Jesus, the more he wants to know Him. I get blown away every single day at what God has done for me because I know who I am. I know my frailties and weaknesses and sin. And yet He still loves me. I want to know my Savior more. You know, I don't want to, and this is maybe silly, but I don't want to go to heaven and go, wow, Jesus, I never knew that about you. I want to know everything about Him, right? How important. Paul did not want his relationship with the Lord to become stagnant or deteriorate. He wanted to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that should be our passion as well. The second point really is born out of this first point because I don't think you can manifest this quality unless you know Jesus intimately, that you are growing in His grace and knowledge. And that is, are you more loving? And that's interesting. And I'm talking about agape love, unconditional love that can only come from God. We can't manufacture this love on our own. We can manufacture phileo love, brotherly love, but agape love comes from God. John put it like this in 1 John 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Wow. You know, John's saying love is from God. God has loved us. And now you're to love others. And I guess the way to evaluate this is, are we critical of others? Do you lord over others? Do you speak of others in a bad way? Do you gossip and on the list can go. Are those things that are being manifested showing the love of God, that agape love? No. And it's more than just our words, our actions. Are the things we do putting others first? How important? You see, the Christian life is not a stagnant life. It's an active life. Another thing we can look at to see how we're doing is, are we more sensitive to and aware of God? And I realize, I mean, you start looking at our schedules today, and remember when these fancy phones came out and all the laptops and the iPads and all these things came out, and they said, your life is going to be much easier. You're going to have more time to do things than ever before. How did that pan out? Oh, my gosh. People can get in touch with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, I don't even like taking my phone in the bathroom because I know I'm in the bathroom. It's going to ring. Wow, we can get so, so busy. And isn't it easy to tune God out because all these other things are fighting for our attention? You know, right now, you may not know this, but right now in this room, there's hundreds of radio programs being played, hundreds of television shows going on. You think, well, this guy's a nut. No, there are. You know why you can't hear them and can't see them? Because you don't have a tuner. If you had a tuner, you could tune into them and you could listen to them, but you don't have one. When we come to Christ, we have the ability to tune into the voice of God. We have the Holy Spirit. How do we know the mind of Christ? Paul talked about it in Corinthians. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, reveals these things of God to us. So as we go through the day, are we open to what God is trying to show us? Because he'll reveal things in our lives all the time. But we could be so distracted that we miss out on that. When God's tugging at your heart, when he's revealing something to you, when he brings someone across your path, listen to what he's saying. The next one is also an important indicator. Are you directed by the Word of God? That's important, obviously, because we are directed by so many things today. Before we were saved, we were governed by what? Our fleshly desires. But now we've come to Christ. We should be governed by his Spirit according to his Word. In other words, God shows us what's right and what's wrong, but we need to listen and obey. You know, we see that with Samson. He knew what God wanted. He just didn't obey. One of the big things today that I've dealt with over the last 25 years here is that people who are living together, and obviously the scriptures are against it, but they'll say something like this. But Pastor Joe, we love each other, and in God's eyes, we're married. I can't tell you how often I hear that. It's scary. God doesn't justify our behavior, our sin. He doesn't approve of it. And I realize people get upset. How could you say that? That's unloving. That's hateful. Well, first of all, it's not unloving if it's the truth, right? It's not hateful if my desire is to see you get out of sin and get right with God. What's unloving is to let you continue on in sin. That's unloving, and that's really being hateful to the person. God should just speak for himself. You don't need me to tell you, but Hebrews 13:4, one verse only. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. It's pretty simple. I mean, you don't have to know Greek to understand that. You just read it? Okay. Now you know it. Now apply it. Live it. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, that all scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you want to be complete, let the Word of God work in your life. Not just information, which is important, the correct information, but then the application to your life. God's Word's teaching us and rebuking us and correcting us and training us. Those are all growth-related words. Christian growth doesn't just happen automatically. We have to walk accordingly. Remember our story of the explorer on the iceberg. You can drift away from spiritual progress, but you never drift forward. You have to make that progress. You have to walk according to what God has said. And it's not always easy. But for Samson, he went down to Timnah, something he shouldn't have done. Back here in Judges 14, look at verse 3. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. And I'm just going to stop there. Samson had godly parents, and they tried to raise Samson in the things of God. And even here we see them try to tell Samson, look, Samson, you need to marry a woman from the children of Israel. Don't marry a Gentile. Don't marry this Philistine woman. And his response is interesting. Get her for me, for she pleases me well. It's like a little kid. He's not interested in what his parents were telling him. He was not interested in what God had said. It was really all about Samson. What pleases him? Samson gets them to agree with his departure from God. He gets them to side with him. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. He got his parents to agree with his sin, to go along with him. And we like to do that. We like to get others to agree with us that what we're doing is okay. When we're not walking with God, when we're going down, you might say, we love to get others to side with us. Why? Because it makes us feel better about what we're doing. It makes us feel better about our sin. Samson went down to Timnah with his parents now. And I've seen people do this over the years, and we might have done it ourselves from time to time. You know, we do something wrong and we feel conviction and we go to another brother or sister in the Lord and we tell them why we did what we did to justify our behavior. And we want them to say, oh, I would have done the same thing. You did nothing wrong. And again, you know, having someone justify us, our sin, go along with it, makes us feel good, but not in God's eyes. I remember years ago when I was assistant pastor at Calvary Chapel Elk Grove back in Illinois, a woman from the church called me and told me she was going to get a divorce. And I figured after a few minutes what she was trying to do. She wanted me to give her my blessings to get a divorce, to tell her that it was okay. The problem was she didn't have biblical grounds to divorce her husband, and I told her that. And what she said next was very interesting to me. She was trying to justify why I should go along with her request. And she basically said this. She said, look, I have Christian friends, and they've all told me, look, it's okay to divorce him. He's a horrible husband. It's all right. Divorce him. And I told her, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't really care what your Christian friends tell you. I only care what God says. And God has not given you grounds for a divorce. You need to work on this and pray that there's reconciliation, that you two can get back together again. But she didn't like what I had to say, or really she didn't like what God said, but she was mad at me. Just hard to get mad at God. There was another amusing thing that happened years ago back at Calvary, and this was a gentleman. And I was watching him. It was after service. And he was going around from one assistant pastor. He didn't go to Pastor Phil, senior pastor. He was going to the assistant pastors and going one to another to another. And I was just watching. Then he came to me. And he said, look, I need your help here. Where I work is horrible. It is so bad. The people swear and they curse. They're not nice. And I listened to what he said, and he went on, and his boss is bad, this is bad, and he wanted to quit his job. And this man was married, he had a family to support, and I asked him, look, do you have another job? Which he didn't. And I asked him if those people that were cursing and swearing and doing all kinds of bad things, if they were Christians. He said, well, no. Then I asked him why he's surprised about their behavior, if they're not Christians. Maybe he was there to influence them about Jesus. And I told him, don't quit your job unless the Lord is leading you. And you have another job. You need to support your family. Well, you know, he went on until there were no more assistant pastors, and he never heard what he wanted. But he was trying to justify his behavior. Hey, if everything fell apart, it was because Pastor Joe told me. Well, no. What does God say, right? These things that were going on in Samson's life are moving him farther and farther and farther away from God. Where does he have to go through to get to this Philistine woman. He has to go through the vineyards of Timnah. Now, you may not think much about that, but it was a big deal for Samson. Why? Well, Samson was to be a Nazarite. And in Judges 13, verses 3 through 5, we're told, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman, his mother, and said to her, 'Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. And no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines.'" So, where is Samson now? He's in the vineyards of Timnah, and he shouldn't have been there. You see, this Nazarite vow was a vow really of consecration, of dedicating yourself to the Lord, to be set apart. That's what the word Nazarite or Nazir means. For the most part, these vows are short, maybe 30 days. But for Samson, it was his entire life, God said. Three things, main things that person wasn't to be involved with or to abstain with. You weren't to have anything that came off the vine. Not just the wine, but the grapes, grape juice, whatever. Why? I think God just wanted their joy to be pure and not artificial. He wanted them alert to his voice as they were spending time with him. You're to let your hair grow out, not cut it. And it's just an outward symbol of your dedication to the Lord. And lastly, you weren't to touch anything that had died, because then you'd be unclean. And again, I think the idea is just purity that we're to have before the Lord. And Samson breaks this one. And there's going to be more as we read on in chapter 14. As Christians, we need to heed the voice of God over the voices of our friends. And I realize that's a difficult thing to do, especially when we want our sin justified or our friends want their sin justified, because we don't like people to be upset with us. But when we tell them, hey, look, that's wrong and this is why, do it in love. Because we want restoration, we don't want destruction. We want the person to be restored. And we got to have that kind of heart. That's really the heart of God. We can't approve of their sin, and we don't want others to approve of our sin. Samson, he went down, and he not only went down, but he got his parents aside with him, and the whole family went down to Timnah. Wow. Now look at that last part of verse 5 here in Judges 14. "Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. Though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well." And I've called these verses here down, 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 because that's really the direction Samson's going. He's not moving up towards God. He keeps moving farther from God. And he's going down with his parents, but for some reason they separated. They took a detour. Maybe he took a back road. I don't know. And he's traveling through these vineyards. He knew better. He shouldn't have. And in this vineyard, where he shouldn't have been, what does he encounter? He encounters a lion. You might say a roaring lion seeking to destroy him, right? Yeah. You know, make no mistake about it. For us, the danger comes when we're complacent in our walk. That's what Peter said. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Don't go places you shouldn't be. You know, people that are alcoholics, you don't have a bar ministry. Unless God's going to put you there. Be wise. Don't put yourself in situations that are going to get you in trouble. You've seen the animal shows, you know, maybe I'm dating myself, Wild Kingdom, whatever, National Geographic, where, you know, you've got the little antelope, right, running all by himself, just not paying attention at all. And all of a sudden, what happens? The lion is upon that one and devours him. We need to be wise. We need to be walking with God, because the enemy is seeking to devour us, especially in these days. He can't take away our salvation, but he can destroy our witness. And don't we need to shine in this dark world today? I mean, think about this stuff. 5 years ago, did you ever think you would see the immorality and violence and wickedness that is going on today? I never thought it would get this bad. I knew what the Bible said, but I thought, it can't be like, I mean, I look at it now, it just scratched my head. Do you realize in California, they have passed a law, and I warned people about this, that if you can have sex with a child, if you are within 10 years of the age of that child. Now, I'm not sure how far that goes. I think, what is it, Tony, 14 or something, 15? 14. So you can have sex. If you're 24, you can have sex with a child who is 14. People laughed at me when I said, oh, homosexuality has passed being legalized now. Just wait, pedophiles are next. And that's what we're seeing. Wow. The devil wants to destroy. We need to be wise. This lion appears before Samson. If he was never there, it would have never happened. Now, God is gracious and merciful. And he rips this lion apart. Now, I don't care who you are. You are not going to rip a lion apart. They're going to rip you apart. Samson did not do this on his own strength. There is no way. I don't care who he is, okay? I think he should have been aware. Hey, God is with me. What am I doing here, right? There's no way I should have been able to defeat this lion. He should have killed me. And yet, he heads back down to Timnah. He sees this Philistine woman. Our God is gracious with us, just as he was with Samson. But there comes a point where judgment comes. And we'll see that towards the end of Samson's life. He kills this lion, right? And all of a sudden, God is out of his mind. And he goes down to Timnah. To this woman that, I hate to use the word love, it's probably not correct, it's more lust. What about us? Look at all that God has done, is doing, and is going to do, will do in our lives. And when we're delivered from a difficult situation, we go right back to the sin. We start to travel down once again. You know, remember 9/11 and how churches were filled with people after 9/11. Oh, back to God, everyone's turn. And then what happened? They got comfortable again and everyone, you know, did whatever they wanted. They left the church. Some people love to use all kinds of excuses to justify again what they're doing. I mean, I've heard the craziest things before. Samson, God delivered him and he's with this Philistine woman. I've heard people talk about smoking marijuana. There was a Christian guy who told me, hey, God made the plants, so it's okay to smoke marijuana. I'm thinking, well, then I guess it's okay to take cocaine, right? No, it's not. Why? Because the Bible says don't take those mind-altering drugs. Years ago, an old Scottish woman went to country homes to sell thread, buttons, and shoestrings. And when she came to an unmarked crossroad, she would toss a stick in the air and go whichever way the stick pointed. One day she was seen tossing the stick into the air several times, falling to the ground. And someone asked, you know, why do you toss the stick several times? She answered, it is pointed every time to the road going to the right, and I want to go to the road to the left. It looks smoother. She kept throwing the stick until it finally pointed toward the road she wanted to go, and that's what some Christians will do. They'll talk to enough people who will justify their behavior, or they'll find some, you know, obscure passage in the Bible that will say they make it sound like it's justifying their sin. You know, I could show you, I've told you this before, that in the Bible it says he was bald and he was clean. So we should all shave our heads and we'll be clean. No, look at what does it say before? What does it say after? What is the context? But you can find all kinds of things to justify your bad behavior. Don't do that with your walk with the Lord. For us as Christians, especially in the days we're living in where people are watching us, it's so important that we walk worthy of the high calling by which we've been called. To be holy because the Lord is holy. And he's working in us, but we can grieve the work of the Holy Spirit by our sin. We can have our prayers hindered by our sin. And, you know, when we speak of sin, we tend to think of big sins, but sin is sin. And yes, there are degrees of punishment for the unsaved in regard to their sins, but any sin is wrong. People think, well, it's just a little lie. Well, I'm not gossiping, but did you hear the one about so-and-so? And I'm only telling you this so you can pray for him. Or come on, it was just a paperclip. It's not really stealing. I mean, a dime a dozen. Wow, I should have a house like that. I love God more than they do. And this is where I live? Look at that house. Or my parents are so dumb, they just don't get anything. And then they want me to listen to them. Crazy, it's not going to happen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.